BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history, but fortunately for us, God wrote it down all in His prophecies what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective, for without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, the Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, and religion come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Let's get down to what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's Sledgehammer Show number 407. 407 Sledgehammer shows that you can watch, even the previous shows and all this other wonderful stuff. You can watch us at thesledgehammershow.com. This show is entitled Stepping on the Third Rail. We're going to be stepping on the third rail tonight. We're going to be touching subjects that will get you banned on major platforms, but we don't care. We have our own platform at yeshuatube.org. Let me introduce myself to y'all. I am Rav Hanun ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people following the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. You can come out any Shabbat, that's Saturday night, that's Saturday, at 11 a.m. for worship, the Word, and fellowship. And we go until the Shabbat ends. Come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. You can visit our website at bgmctv.org. That's bgmctv.org. And you can support the ministry. And you can support the Sledgehammer Show by sending a check to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's Beth Goyim, 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. I am joined on the line today by none other than my good friend and confidant there, Mr. Ben Jimenez III from the great state of DeSantis land of Florida. All right. Let's see what else we're doing here. We're going to be going on here to the Word of God. As we said, we're going to be stepping on the third rail today with the topics that we're going to be talking about. But we're going to start with the Word of God, as we always do in our show, because everything must be tempered with the Word of God, because without it, you don't understand what's going on. And there is some major things going on. And one of the topics that we're going to be talking about today is homosexuality. I don't understand men wanting to be with men. It just, you know, I can get secular and go there, and it just, I don't get it. You know, I've known a lot of gay people, and I thought, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lou Ferrigno look cool, you know, bodybuilders and things like that. But as for wanting to be with them in a sexual way, no thank you. Okay. So, but what we're going to be talking about is the arrogance and the forcefulness of the homosexuals. And we're going to be talking about many other subjects. You know, many other subjects. We're going to be talking about the clot shot. We're going to be talking about Christians being banned from restaurants, you know, people who pro-life and pro-family being removed from restaurants because the low-life servers didn't, you know, those people with those high education points, you know, they they didn't want to serve these people. But we'll get to that in a minute. But first, we're going to talk about the scripture here, where we're going to talk about the book of Bereshit, Genesis. We're going to be talking about Genesis 19. Verse 4 and 5, but before they could go to bed, the men of the city surrounded the house, young and old, everyone from every neighborhood of Sodom. They called Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to stay with you tonight? Bring them out to us. We want to rape them. Oh, no, it says we want to have sex with them. Okay, they wanted to rape them. Okay, and skip down to verse number 9. Stand back, they replied. This guy came to live here, and now he's decided to play judge. For that will deal worse with you than them. They crowded in on Lot in order to get close enough to break the door down. Okay, so what we see here in the Word of God is an attitude that the homosexuals had over 3,000 years ago. That they didn't... In verse 5, they didn't want to, you know, ask the two men if they were gay. They didn't want to ask them if they would like to have sexual relations. They said, bring them out to us. We want to have sex with them. They weren't going to, you know, be nice to them. They were going to rape them. They were going to be absolutely disgusting, which we're going to see the forcefulness of the gay people today, pushing their own disgusting, demonic agenda, okay? And then, you know, verse 9, they say, stand back, we'll deal with you worse than them. After we're done raping them, we're going to do nasty things to you. And that's what we're seeing with the gay people today, an arrogance and a forcefulness that we really need to... We, the body, you know, people that are following Torah and believe in Messiah Yeshua, we need to push back and push back hard. We need to close their businesses. We need to shut them down. We need to, you know, anybody who's standing on their side, we need to remove that business from the town. We need to, you know, bring the full weight of God and His Word to the public square. So let me see what my good friend Benny and the Jets, no, the Benny and the Steelers, what do you think about this 3,000-year-old scripture, you know, talking about the forcefulness of the homosexuals, and what do you think about it?
Well, I mean, like King Shlomo said, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's been done is being done again, everything that's being done has been done already. You know, we see more and more how, you know, this community of people, of, you know, we're going to call them homosexuals because they prefer sex with the same gender. How they have pushed an agenda upon us, and how they're pushing this agenda and forcing it on our children. And for fear of the government taking our children away, we tend to cede to their demands, where we have, you know, men dressed in women's clothing, which in the Bible is considered an abomination. We see that in Numbers. And it's okay. We see these men dressed as women twerking as if they were women in front of our children and teaching our children to do the same. And yet we're okay with this. This is the same stuff that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, where Lot chose to live. But just like back then in verse 9, when they said this guy came to live here and now he's decided to play judge, It's the same thing that they're saying today. Oh, you can't judge me. Don't judge us. You know, but like I told somebody the other day, how are we judging you if your actions have already judged you? Because as Rav Shaul says, for the wages of sin is death, and you know, but the gift of Messiah is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. So everything that we've read, you know, Genesis 19:4, 19:5, 19:9, is nothing new. It's just a repeat of everything that was done before. And as the saying goes, if you don't study history, you are doomed to repeat it.
Definitely. We are doomed to repeat what's going on. So let's add to this, because we're going to be covering not just homosexuality, we're going to be covering a couple of other different real hot topics. So there's a Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. There are six things that Jehovah hates, seven which he detests: a haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that plots wicked schemes, and feet swift in running to do evil. Okay? Running to do evil. And a false witness who lies with every breath, and him who sows strife among others. Okay, so we're focusing on verse 18. A heart that plots wicked schemes, feet swift with running to do evil. One of the stories that I didn't have a chance to put in because I just heard about it this afternoon. I didn't get to put in, but I am going to touch it. In New Zealand, and this is what we're talking about, the forcefulness of people that are evil. In New Zealand, there was a baby who needed a surgery, and the parents didn't want blood that from people that donated that had been vaccinated. And she was refusing to let the baby have the surgery with this blood, you know. But what's incredible about this story, is that the government came and took the baby. Okay, I'm going to try to get in touch with these people and say, you know, what God has told me to say, and you know, say you need to turn back to Torah, and then we could do and what Torah says to do with those kidnappers. Okay, it was in New Zealand. I think it's baby Will or something like that. Okay, in New Zealand, and they abducted the baby. They kidnapped the baby from the parents to put this, you know, vaccinated blood in the baby. Okay, this is kidnapping, and the Bible speaks very strongly about what we should do to kidnappers. So everybody that was involved in the kidnapping, from the judge who ordered it, to the medical personnel at the hospital, to the police, everyone, you know, we read the scriptures about what we should do to those people. Okay, so there we start off with the scriptures. You know, let me bring it up back on the screen again so that we see what God hates. Let me see, there we are. Okay, let me bring it up on the screen. A heart that plots wicked schemes, feet swift in running to do evil. This is the times that we're living in, Ben, are, I could never imagine this when the Lord called me into ministry. I could never imagine where we would be 20 years later on the timeline of things where, you know, governments are abducting children to give them vaccinated blood. You know, when I was in school and when you were in school, the nurse couldn't even give us an aspirin without getting written consent from our parents. You know, and what the governments are doing, but it's such a spiritual battle, because we have fallen so far from following God's word. What do you think about, you know, this proverb, you know, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet swift in running to do evil. These are things that Jehovah detests. What do you think about that? And then we'll get into the stories.
Well, you know, the question here is, why does God hate this? Why is it detestable to him? You know, and if anybody who's walked in righteousness or in the word and followed Messiah knows that God is pure. His love is pure. There's no favoritism with him. He loves everybody the same, and he's going to pay everybody for everything that they've done. Or should I say, everybody's going to pay for all the wicked that they've done. You know, he promises us in 2 Chronicles, what is it, 7:14? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. But wait a second, there's a key phrase there, that if we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, he's going to hear from heaven. That's also a key that King Shlomo had said in I believe, what is it, Ecclesiastes? It's in Proverbs, that he who fails to obey Torah, even his prayer, is an abomination.
Proverbs 28, verse 9.
So that means that God doesn't hear your prayer because your sin is an abomination. So Proverbs 6:18, your heart that plots wicked schemes. You know, in Genesis, God said that the imaginings of our heart are evil continuously. You know? But we have the opportunity to make a choice, and he puts two roads in front of us, the good and the bad. It's up to us to make the decision to walk on either the good or the bad. Moshe put in front of us in Deuteronomy, he set before us life and death. He told us to choose life so that it might go well with us. But because we're so hard-headed, and we always looking for the easy way out, we tend to do evil. We tend to seek death. But while we are alive, and while yet it is day, let us seek the Lord while we have a chance. Because the clock is ticking, and it's ticking a lot quicker to the end of all of our existence.
Yeah, it truly is. So now we're gonna get to the stories that, as Ben said, you know, to the end of our existence, because, you know, we got some serious things going on, real serious things going on. Look at this, you know. The CDC released a report at the end of November, in which they stated 1.1 million Americans have died suddenly over the past year. It's over a million people died from the vaccinations, okay? There's no denying it. And now, if you're too stupid to realize that you know, it's not the vaccinations, all these people dying, there's, you know, you can go to, do I have it on there? Yeah, it's at the bottom. Let me move my face out of the way there, and so that you can see. Watch Stu Peters' movie Died Suddenly. So go to stupeters.com, and watch Died Suddenly. That, you know, the CDC is saying that over 1 million people, you know, healthy people, young people, you know, young to old, I mean, from infants to, you know, the other day, Kirstie Alley died of cancer. She went from stage one to stage four in a matter of weeks. So that was, you know, it's vaccination induced. Okay. So it is vital that you realize that these governments, this wicked plot, God is allowing it. Okay. God is allowing this, you know, and you're going to see millions more die. Okay. This is worldwide. This is sick and twisted. But how did, and we've talked about it, you know, we don't talk about it every week because I know, you know, some people, you know, you get a little burnt out about hearing some of the same topics over and over. And that's why in the Sledgehammer Show, we try to change things up and, you know, do other topics. But, you know, like I said, this week we're going to be stepping on the third rail. You know, 1.1 million Americans have died suddenly. Healthy, you know, I saw an article the other day. You know, this celebrity bodybuilder, and he was 53 years old. Healthy man, strong man, you know, fitness guru, you know, died, you know, suddenly. This is, you know, God allowing this to happen. So, okay, so let's move on to the next subject. The next subject, and I'll bring Ben back on. The next subject, this one really burnt me up, and I sent an email to these scum chickens. Restaurant refuses to serve customers because they're pro-life, pro-family. So I put in quotations there. Isn't this discrimination? If somebody were black and, you know, it was a white neighborhood and they wouldn't serve the black people because they called them the N-word, you know, you would say this is discrimination. Or, you know, walk in and, you know, I look like a Jew and I am a Jew. We don't serve Jews here. We don't serve those kikes. Okay? That would be called discrimination. Okay? So the Family Foundation of Virginia had booked a private hall in a restaurant to have their monthly meeting, okay? And an hour and a half before the meeting at this, let's see what the name is. Let's get the name of the Metzer. Let me take my face off the screen here so you can see it. Metzger's Bar and Butchery. And so you can go to Metzger's Bar and Butchery.com and send them a nasty email. Okay. Their servers refuse to serve the people from this organization. These servers, you know, most are either working second jobs or maybe this is their main job. And, you know, these people who don't own the restaurant, you know, so the intolerant leftist mob is coming for Christians everywhere. For weeks, we had planned gathering in a private room to fellowship and update supporters of our work. About an hour and a half before the event was set to take place, the restaurant owners called our team to cancel, and employees had looked up our organization and their wait staff refused to serve us. So it's okay to not serve people who believe in pro-life and pro-family, but, you know, if you were to say, you know, that man's a black man, that's a Puerto Rican, okay? We don't want no Puerto Ricans here. We don't want the Mexicans here, okay? That would be described as discrimination. Or we don't want no Jews here, you know, and the Jews, you know, they own Hollywood. They're nasty. They're causing the world to be problems. So this is being called good, and they're allowed to do something like this. Ben, what do you think about this restaurant? You know, the people down in Virginia should go protest. They should call the Board of Health. They should, you know, check their liquor license, everything. They should make sure, you know, none of the people there, you know, have records. You know, we should do everything to close down this garbage restaurant, okay? Anybody, you know, I mean, because they're wait staff, you know, you're a waiter or a waitress. You know, you're not doing rocket sciences. You're taking somebody's order, giving it to the kitchen, and carrying their food and drinks out from either the bar or the kitchen. You're not a rocket scientist. If I were the owners, I would have dismissed all the people that didn't want to work and say, don't come back. We'll hire other people. I'll work hard myself. What do you think of this, Ben? How this discrimination against people who are pro-family and pro-life, you know, this is amazing.
Well, you know, reading this and listening to you speak on this reminds me of an article that we had touched a few years ago on the Benjamin Project, where the Christian bakery was condemned for not baking a cake for a same-sex marriage, and how the government came down on them and shut them down because they refused to bake a cake for same-sex marriage. Now, how hypocritical is this? The tables are turned now, where a Christian, God-believing family went into...
Well, it was an organization.
An organization went in to this grill.
I believe
Metzger's is like a bar and grill, where like an Applebee's and stuff like that. Probably on a little, you know, higher scale. But the fact is that once again, they're pushing their agenda on us. You know, these people probably wanted to go just have, you know, a little bit of fellowship and some dinner and not bother anybody. But here we go, where the darkness is offended by the light. If you carry the light within you, people around you, like Yeshua said, you know, people will hate you because of me, you know. And when you carry that light within you and it shines all around you, the darkness is getting riled up. Now, this is just like when the visitors came into Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, these inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to taint them and stain them with their sin. But little did they know who they were, because when they opened up the door, they pulled out their swords and everybody got blinded. You know, and they were able to carry Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah before the destruction came. And history repeats itself, people. Destruction is coming. You know, I know the message has been carried out for over 2,000 years and nothing has happened. But there's an old saying in Spanish, the shrimp that sleeps is carried away by the current. And when we least expect it, you know, it's just like the thief in the night. When we least expect it, the thief comes and robs the home of practically everything that's valuable, and the owner doesn't know it. Just like the parable where Yeshua said, if the owner of the house knew that the thief was coming, he'd sit and wait for him, right? Well, people, we need to sit and wait for the return of our Messiah, because he is coming, and this here is just a piece of the puzzle that's going to fulfill the end times.
It certainly is going to fulfill the end times. And as we're talking about it, you know, it's something amazing because here's a headline. There's going to be there's a new government in Israel. And when these things are happening in America, you're like, okay, it's America, and it's going on in France, it's France. But when these things, this forcefulness of the Hellenistic Jews, okay, there's a new government, and it's totally made up of the religious parties in Israel. In Israel, you need to have 61 seats out of 120, 61 or more seats to rule, to have a ruling government. And when you vote in Israel, you vote for the party, and then the party puts their leader. Okay, normally they have a spokesperson, so you're sort of voting for the party and the person. Now, the left was in, the left liberals, the secular Jews and the non-Jews were in power for a little while. And now the people of Israel have voted. We're tired of that type of government. We want a more religious government. So they actually, the new Netanyahu government has 64, or not, it's not the Netanyahu government, it's the Likud party has the most seats, and with the rest of the religious parties, they have 64 seats, which is in Israel basically a supermajority. Now, the liberals and the secular Jews, the Hellenistic Jews, and while we're talking about that, using the term Hellenistic, that's what happened when Antiochus Epiphanes took over Israel and, you know, destroyed the land, you know, destroyed the temple. And, you know, they had gay sex in Jerusalem in the gymnasium. Okay. Now, Israel, alarmed education officials warn ministry will be dismantled under new government. Praise God. Okay. I might not like, you know, the Orthodox Jews, and, well, they don't like me because I believe in Messiah. So, but I do believe in the Torah, and it's very important. You know, these Hellenistic, these secular Jew in name only, you know, they're all worried that we're gonna dismantle the education system. Praise God. I don't want my kids learning about homosexuality. I don't want my kids learning about garbage in your crappy system. I want them learning God's ways of family. Okay, so the leftists, you have to call them leftists because liberal is meaning liberal ways of thinking. Okay, classic liberals was, you know, small government. Okay, so here in Israel, there the liberals, the left that's leaving, wants to, you know, we don't want to have this religious government. We don't want to have this religious government. Department of Education Ministry to partner this prospective right-wing religious coalition. Meanwhile, top members of outgoing government held an emergency meeting at the Knesset that they called Stopping the Liquidation Sale of of the Education System. I want them to liquidate it. I want them to teach that there is a God. I want them to teach that we should follow Torah. I want them to teach the laws and commands of God, but these secular Jews don't understand that, you know, hell is coming. Hell is on its way, and they might want to pick up the Bible and see that, you know, you're the only country in the world that's come back from the dead after 2,000 years. You know, these people come from, you know, the Holocaust, and there's not many of them alive because it's been so long. But, you know, We don't want to have this religious stuff in our school systems. I mean, Ben, it's going on in Israel. The homos, you know, they're pushing their crap agenda, this demonic agenda, this satanic way of thinking, you know. And the outgoing prime minister is saying, don't work with the new government, don't work with the new government, resist them. No, the people voted for them, and they voted you out, and actually your party lost seats. You know, you got smaller. So what do you think of this, the leftists in Israel you know, saying, you know, they're going to dismantle the education system.
Well, you know, I used to be a Democrat, and I was.
You were an abomination.
I was under the impression that the Democrats were for the people, but as I worked together with the union, I realized the plan that they had in place was not to benefit the people, but to keep the people as ignorant slaves for their benefit. And if you notice, every time a Republican president gets elected, the education system benefits. When a Democratic president is elected, the budget for the education system is minimized. They take out so much away from the education because they don't want us educated. They want us to remain numb and dumb. So how do they do this? They do this by giving the people what they need: free food, free health care. We'll pay your rent, we'll pay your electric. You just do what we tell you to do when we tell you to do it. And the majority of the people are willing to trade their safety and security for a plate of food. Hence North Korea. North Korea, they came in and they told the people if they give them the land, they will feed them stew and rice every day. What did they do? Poor country. They gave up their land to the government. Now they own nothing. And the government has everything, and they still have nothing. You know, and this is how socialism and the tyrannical governmental system operates. And this is what's happening in Israel. And if we're not careful, you know, these people, these leftists, these extreme leftists, will turn our countries into a third world country, and we won't ever recognize it again, you know. But thank God that Israel is the apple of God's eye. And I don't believe that he will allow her destruction, you know. He'll destroy man before his bride is destroyed.
Yeah, well, it's something that, you know, it's going to happen. We have the Zechariah prophecy where 2/3 of the Jews die this time, you know. So we see what's going on in Israel, and it's the secular Jews don't understand that there is a God in heaven. All right, so let's move on to the next topic. Because I told you we're going to be touching the third rail. Now, there's a reason that all this is going on. You know, the 1.1 million people dying. 1.1 million people dying. Okay. Look at this headline, everybody. More professing atheists and humanists legislating morality from public office. Atheism and humanism are on the rise as the number of elected members filling state and federal seats who profess no belief in God increased from only 5 in 2016 to upward of 70 in the most recent election cycle. From 5, you know, this is state and federal seats, that's across the nation. Now throughout the nation, there are 70 professing atheists in our governments. Okay, this is horrendous. Okay, because our Constitution was made for only a moral and religious people. It is wholly not worthy to have for any other people. Okay, so look at this from 5 to 70. Now, the Center for Free Thought Equality, CFE, sees this increase as progress toward safer, saner, stronger, and more secular America. Safer, saner, stronger, and more secular America. So when you don't have the Word of God, then only the strong survive, because people are lazy, people are stupid, people are selfish, people will lie, cheat, and steal to get whatever they want. Okay, so when you remove the Word of God from, you know, our leadership, you know, from 5 to 70 atheists in the government, 5 to 70, okay? And then what is atheism? Atheism rejects the existence of God or any gods. Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that, without theism or other supernatural beliefs, affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives, a personal fulfillment that inspire the greater good. In Canada, they're promoting euthanasia. We're going to get to that story later. They're having commercials, you know, promoting this. And, you know, one Canadian veteran needed a ramp built on his house because he couldn't do stairs anymore. So the government said to him, listen to this. This is what we're talking about. The government said to him, well, you should think about euthanasia because we don't want to pay for it. The guy just wanted a ramp built on his home so that he can, you know, walk up, or if he's in a wheelchair, he can, you know, go up that way. But when you remove the Word of God, ethical lives, what is an ethical life? Who decides what is ethics? Who decides what is good and evil? Do the people decide? Do the people decide, you know? I mean, we should look at movies. You know, we talked about this, you know, the other week, but I forgot, you know, The Matrix. But what we're seeing here is with euthanasia and these, you know, this atheistic lifestyle, we're seeing Soylent Green and Logan's Run. Those two movies, you know, promote this atheistic lifestyle. You know, dying when you're young, okay? So, ethical lives? Without the Word of God, every man will do what's right in his own heart, and that's not good. I heard one religious leader saying, you know, not a religious leader, he's giving a talk, and he was like, you know, when every man does what's right in his own eyes, that's good. There was no king in Israel. When people don't have a leader, you know, they do what is evil in their hearts. God said that, you know, when he flooded the world, that man has continual evil in his heart. Okay, so at the end of the atheist saying, the belief that good without God is achievable. Ben, I mean, the world is spinning out of control. I mean, atheism, you believe in pro-life, pro-family, you can't eat at a restaurant. You got the gays, you know, the liberals, the left in Israel saying, don't go with the Likud party. So now we got the atheists from 5 to 70. Where are we going? What do you think, Ben?
Well, for the atheists, if God didn't exist, then why are you trying so hard to... If God doesn't exist to you, why are you trying so hard to prove it? Is it because you know God exists? And if you say he doesn't, everything that you do is going to be unseen? Atheism and humanism, I knew a humanist. She's probably still alive. She was Jewish when I knew her, and she tried to explain this humanism to me, and I wasn't buying it, because how can you do good to a fellow man if God's not involved? Because everything that's good flows from God to each of us and through the world, you know. And to the atheist says he doesn't believe in God, but in that deep, dark corner of his heart, he cries out when there's something wrong. And who does he cry out to? God. Why? Because he tries to prove to himself that God doesn't exist, because his logic doesn't make any sense to him. You know, God is not logic. God is truth. God is fact. God is everything. And he made everything, and he's in everything. You know, his breath is in each and every one of us. If it wasn't for his breath, we wouldn't be alive, you know. But these people, because they have another agenda, and that agenda is led and masterminded by the enemy of our souls. You know, he's made us believe in the perfect lie that he doesn't exist. So then if he doesn't exist, then God doesn't exist either. You know, and the fact that we have 65 more atheists and humanists in government, you know, since 2016, it can only be the result of the one thing. That we have not failed, but we have succeeded in taking and kicking God out from our lives, from our government, from our schools, from even from our churches. Most of the churches today aren't even preaching God. They're preaching progressiveness. They're preaching financial success. They're preaching financial stability. But none of this can be achieved unless our God is in the center of it all. Because it says his is the gold and the silver. And he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. His is all the riches and glory. And none of it is ours. It's all loaned to us. We don't take it. We leave it on this earth. It stays on this earth where it belongs, because that's where he put it.
Yeah, he put it there. And let's dovetail on that story of atheism. See, when you don't have God's rules, then this next story happens. Cop sexually abuses teen, so government launches probe of parents. A court case has developed in Missouri that raises the question of whether county officials are allowed to retaliate against the parents of a victim of abuse by one of its own employees. The situation is that a 15-year-old boy was sexually abused. Let me get my face off the screen here so we can see the rest of this. 15-year-old boy was sexually abused by a deputy in Scott County, Missouri. Parents threatened to sue the county because it allowed the deputy, who had been disciplined in previous employment situations, to have a job and the authority of the deputy in the county. So let me bring up the next slide because it's fascinating. I mean, you want to have atheism? Okay, according to the Institute for Justice, which is working on the case on behalf of the family, then a few weeks later, the family heard a knock on their front door and found a juvenile officer and two highway patrol troopers accompanying a child welfare investigator from Scott County Children's Division. The child welfare investigator informed the parents that they were being formally investigated for child neglect, claiming that an anonymous source called the state's child abuse tip line and reported the family. Okay, first and foremost, we need to get rid of anonymous tips. Okay, if you don't want to stand behind your word, then we don't want to listen to you. The Bible says two witnesses. That means you must be present. But what we see here is, you know, the parents were making a formal complaint, so the cop, this demonically possessed cop, who doesn't believe in God, this atheistic type of communities and cities that we're having here, he abused the teen, and then the parents were, you know, filing suit against the government because this guy had already been known to have a problem. And then they show up with, you know, deputies at the house. First of all, unless they have a search warrant, don't let them in. Okay? Don't let them touch your children. Don't let them, I don't care what anybody says. If, you know, anonymous tip, I don't give a banana about an anonymous tip. Okay? You can't enter my home. You can't touch my children on an anonymous tip. And even then, I'm not going to allow you to touch my children because I'm going to follow Torah. And if you touch them, we're going to invoke the kidnapping law of Torah. And there's going to be a whole bunch of hurting coming your way. But what we see here is when a society doesn't keep the laws of God, God says, I'll leave. You know, that's why we what happened with the first temple. God left and Antiochus Epiphanes came in and took the whole temple, did some nasty things in the temple. And the Jews, wanted to be friends with him, and he carried them away and did, awful things to them. So now this 15-year-old boy is sexually abused in Missouri in Scott County, and then the county comes after the parents. This is sick what's going on. This is absolutely sick. But this is a society, we got 1.1 million people dead from, the vax. So, Ben, isn't this amazing? The cop retaliates and gets Child Protective Services to come and knock on the parents' door. We should go, we can't lie. So, but this is kidnapping, and kidnapping has ramifications if you're following Torah. What do you think about this? I mean, this follows the atheist story. When you don't have the commandments of God, every man will do what's right in his own eyes. What do you think, Ben?
Well, this story here, as awful as it sounds, is of no surprise, because lately, since 2021, we've been hearing about how the police officers are protecting these these human trafficking people, in exchange for sex with the victims. There was an article last night on that. So this here, that an officer had sex with this 15-year-old boy, is not a surprise. But here again, what does the word of our Father say? He who puts his trust in a man, is what's it say?
I'm not sure which you're pointing out to.
Yeah, there's a scripture that says that you know, if we put trust in man, you know, that we're like deceived and we're it's we're to put our trust in God versus man.
Right.
You know. And in this case, because they wear a badge and they carry a gun and they supposedly went through the academy, that these men are qualified to protect us. And again, the only protection that we need, okay, and is this. This is the only protection we need along with God. Okay? We have God, we have protection. We have this, we have protection. When we say to the police officer, please protect me, sir, they're not required to protect you. They're here to protect property and enforce the policies. That's what police means. Policy. Okay? They're enforcing the policy that the government and the lawmakers set in place. These people here are not God-fearing. And once again, because we've kicked God out and we've pushed him away from anything that's sacred and holy, this is the result. You know, the wages of sin is death. And the further away we move from God, the more these headlines are going to be written about, because people, God is a righteous God, and sin, he detests it. That's why he made a way for each and every one of us to be rescued, to be redeemed from sin. But because we think we know better, we've rejected Messiah. And by rejecting Messiah, we welcome in sin. We welcome in the evil and all of its rewards. But there are a few, and I so hope that there are a few, just like that were in Sodom and Gomorrah, that God risked everything to rescue them. But this here is sad, but it's not surprising, because we see it in the Word. If we refuse to follow Torah, they'll take away our children. The homes that we made to live in won't be lived in by us. They'll be lived in by someone else. The women that we take to marry, to have as wives, will be another man's wife. It's the wages of sin, my dear people. The wages of sin is death. And we have died spiritually. We need to go back to Messiah. We need to seek him and seek the Word of God and walk in the Word of God, so that this way, at least, a little bit more time can be granted to us.
I'll do one other quick story before we wrap it up here, because you have to see where this all leads to. 10-year-old boy shoots mother dead because she refused to make Amazon purchase. A 10-year-old Milwaukee boy fatally shot his mother in the face because she would not buy him a virtual reality headset, then logged on to her Amazon account and ordered it the next day, prosecutors said. This is a society without the Word, everybody. This is what's happening. You know, we need to turn back to God, because, you know, there's 1.1 million people dead from the clot shot already, and more are coming. More and more are coming. We got the homosexuals, you know, pushing their weight around in Israel to say, you know, we want the school systems, we want to teach, you know, 5-year-olds about, you know, cross-dressing and, you know, cutting your body parts off. We got restaurants not wanting to serve, you know, pro-life and pro-family people. We got 10-year-olds killing their mothers because they want, you know, they don't know, they don't fear God because, well, it's, you know, the mother wasn't teaching the child about God. So this is why the kid did this, because you reap what you sow. Okay. So we've touched the third rail with this show. You know, be blessed. Send the links out. You know, promote the show, because we need to turn back to God, because without Him, everything's going away. You've been listening to The Remnants Call, The Sledgehammer Show. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnants Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about Him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org, and click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnants Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture. Truly, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend the day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parashah. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.